Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefeshore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. So we're here today with Rebecca Carey and Jenny Foster. Rebecca is with Hands of Justice, and I'm going to give her a minute to tell all about that. And Jenny Foster has been on before. Some of you may remember with Loved Much Ministry, and she has a book she's written called Natty's Pond, her experience with a medically advised abortion and her journey through that. So Rebecca, I'm just going to open it right up and just let you share a little bit about your story and how you got started with Hands of Justice.
Yeah. So, well, thank you for having me. I started Hands of Justice in 2017. For those of you that don't know me, I am a survivor of domestic sex trafficking. I was trafficked in my early 20s by a man that was twice my age, lasted for about 2.5 years. During that 2.5 years, he would isolate me from my friends and family. He introduced rules to our so-called relationship, put me through hell and back, basically abuse, mind games, controlling, manipulating, threats to myself as well as my family, and then sold me at gaming facilities across Indiana, which is where this happened, would make me stand next to him for hours while he would gamble and either run up a debt or owe a lot of money, and then he would just sell me to the nearest person. I can tell you that I have been sold more times than I can count, and not only was it career criminals and drug dealers, it was lawyers and doctors and judges and police. Anybody who had the money, who was willing to pay, I was made to perform for. So I always like to preface that it's not just the low scum of what we think is on this earth. It is everybody. A lot going on there. I want people to understand that human trafficking is like an individualistic crime. So even though my story is very similar to a lot of other survivors that I know, not one of our stories are the same. This is a very complex and dark crime, I guess we can say. And there's so much more to it that you can't really even touch on the surface of it within the hour that we're going to be speaking here. So I started Hands of Justice in 2017, again, in order to provide services straight to survivors, mainly because when I self-identified, which was 15 years after my abuse, mind you, there was nothing available for me to get help. It would have required me at this time, when I did self-identify, I was married, I was working a legitimate job, and I was enrolled in school. The only thing available to me at that time would have been to quit school, leave my husband, and quit my job in order to enroll into a residential facility. Which made no sense to me. Like, why give up everything that I had worked so hard for already in order to go backwards is what I felt like it was. So I sat down and I started going out and meeting survivors and talking to them about what is it that you need. And I found that so many of them needed the same things that I did. And so I just sat and created programs specific to individualistic needs. And then we formed Hands of Justice. And then in 2021, we opened the first Economic Empowerment and Resource Center in Conroe. Unfortunately, friends, that got destroyed in Hurricane Beryl just recently. So we are looking for a new office shortly, hopefully, in order to continue those services. Everything right now is continuing, just in a different way, if that makes sense. So We provide trauma therapy, support groups, scholarships, job skills, life skills. We have a boutique where they can come in and get everyday needs, clothing. We partner with people like Jenny so that they can get services for like abortions or healing for childhood sexual trauma. Just it's so much that goes in behind the scenes of what they actually need. And we provide all of these services to men, women, children, and their family members. It's
Wow.
not just select women and not just select to adults. So that's just a little bit about what we do. And yeah, I hope you guys can find out a little bit more at Hands of Justice by going to our website at handsofjustice.org.
Yeah, and I can tell you that a more full testimony of hers is on the website. I was just listening to that the other day. Telling, you telling a little bit more about your story and what that was like. And I would recommend anybody listening to it just to get a clearer picture. But when we think about the women, one thing you said, it kind of intrigued me. You said, when you started researching, you started talking about how to help, what people needed.
People need.
You started talking to other survivors. How were you finding them at that time before Hands of Justice?
Yeah, I would say that they were finding me because I was becoming more and more public with my story and going out and sharing it wherever I was asked because I got to the point where I was like, I can't really be angry at the rest of the world for not doing anything if I'm not out there doing something too. So I really put myself out there and said, I'm willing to share, and I'm willing to share in a platform that's going to be there for other survivors. So every single event that I went to, I met a survivor, every single one. One or two at least would come up to me afterwards. Some would come public afterwards and walk alongside HOJ, and others weren't ready. But I can tell you there was not one event that I did not meet somebody. And so after a while, I was just like, well, what are they doing? What services are they getting? So I stayed in contact with them, and then I formed these groups where I could sit with them, do life with them mainly, but also discuss all of this with them and say, we need to be a majority and start doing for ourselves. If there's nothing out there right now, why not create it and be the voice and be the light for somebody else is basically what we did. So yeah, they found me.
That's
Now,
well, that's really great that you were bold enough to start. And I'm also curious. I know you've shared this with me personally, but I'd like you to kind of share with the people who are listening, because I found this interesting because it's stuff that we don't know. So you escaped a couple of times before you actually became free, and that's in your story on the website. How long is there, like, because I know you said it takes women a lot longer than you normally did. Than you to escape normally. So I want you to talk about that. But how long are women finding themselves in this awful prison, if you will? Is there like an average number of years before they're just, or do they get tired of them after a while, the sex traffickers, and they release them? I mean, does it work that way?
yeah, it doesn't. I will tell you, I've known little 2-year-olds that are being trafficked, and I've known 70-year-olds that are still being trafficked. So the age thing is not prevalent at all. There is a myth that it only happens to teenagers. It's on average that a teenager is first introduced. They do say that on average, from the time that they are being trafficked, that it's 7 years, 7 years that they will survive. That's it. And that's because if you think about it, there's disease associated with this. There's addiction associated with this. There is PTSD, which leads to all kinds of problems. There's eating disorders. There's so much that can go medically wrong with something like this, the abuse that they suffer. That 7 years is normally the average they say that somebody is will make it. And that means that's the death rate at 7 years. Reality is the majority of these men and women will never make it out. It's only 1 to 2% of 45.8 million men, women, excuse me, men, women, and children that are being trafficked that are going to make it. I'm one of the lucky ones, I consider myself. I will tell you also that it takes about seven times on average for somebody to leave their trafficker for the last time. It's the same rate as a domestic violence survivor, meaning they will go back for one reason or another, and there's several different reasons why they go back. It's not normally because they want that situation, is that there's nothing available for them other than that. At least their trafficker is somewhat, this sounds so wrong, but they're somewhat being taken care of, even if they're being abused and starved and, all the other things sold. They still, have a place, if that makes sense. They might have children associated with this, the trafficker. They might be having threats against their family and friends. They might have no economic means to go and leave their trafficking. And again, there's so many different reasons why they take so many times for them to go back. I myself, again, like you said, it took me 3 times. The first 2 times he found me and brought me back. And the punishment was always so severe from leaving in the first place that by the third time I was like, didn't want to take that chance, but something drastically happened that I wisened up to understand that if I did not try at least one more time, I was going to die regardless, one way or the other. And I'm a fighter, so I was like, I'm going to go out fighting. And I just happened to be, again, lucky enough to finally break free of that. But you have to understand, most of these men and women are never going to get that chance ever.
This is so it's so big. It's kind of like abortion for those who are not involved in abortion. It's so big. It really is. There's a lot to it. It's complicated. It's not just this what we think. So
When we talk about millions, how do we even get our brain around these things? You know, the numbers are just
exactly.
out there and it's hard to put a face to them.
Exactly. So I do want to talk, as we are talking to abortion recovery leaders. So I'd like to, if we could shift into this, what tell us just how that we know. I mean, obviously, we know abortion is happening because they don't want to be saddled with children that they have to take care of as well. But talk to us a little bit more about that. What do we need to know and understand?
Again, I think abortion is just as complex as human trafficking. Unfortunately, within the human trafficking world, abortion is a subject that is never talked about. And I will tell you, there's two facets of it. There's forced abortion, and there is abortion that is used as a means as birth control, or that goes hand in hand. For instance, a lot of the traffickers do use abortion as birth control. If they don't want their girl to be pregnant, a lot of times they will drug their women and have them forced, or they will blackmail them, or they will deceive them. There's so many different ways to have that happen. There are women within anti-trafficking and not anti within trafficking world, unfortunately, that are being trafficked, that if they do become pregnant, they have the reality of making a decision of bringing that child into the world of trafficking because they know once that child is born, that's their future. So it can go hand in hand. Either it's the trafficker's decision or it's the woman's decision, but never once have I met a woman within trafficking world that has wanted to actually have the abortion. I mean, there's so many different things that could go badly in that situation. A lot of these women, when they are forced, they end up with medical problems. Again, they're going to non-certified or people to have these procedures done. They end up not being able to have children. They end up with problems of being fertile later. There's so much that has happened. Plus the trauma alone of surviving something like that and knowing if you really did want that child, that it's no longer you no longer have that child. There's so much in the world of anti-trafficking that correlates with abortion that really, really needs to be discussed. Because nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about it. They do talk about the women that are willing to have an abortion. But again, like I said, not one of the survivors that I have met has had one willingly. If they have, it's still a situational thing where, like I just said, they didn't feel like this child was going to have. There was no means they were going to be sold as soon as they were born, if that makes sense, things like that. So, again, we have to talk about those things,
Yeah, and
and know
this
what he is.
is what you're talking about is trauma on a level I don't understand. I don't think the majority of us who are doing abortion recovery would understand. And I know our policy at an Even Place is if we get somebody that comes in and they have multiple things going on, you know, like we recently had a gal come in who had that abuse issue with a boyfriend who pretty much coerced her to have the abortion through all kinds of means of pressure and all these other things. Called himself a Christian. And then when she had the abortion, you know, made her all promises. And then he was out of there. But he was also abusing her very verbally in other ways, and his family was too. And so there was this added pressure of abuse. She was having trouble because everything was just, within the last 6 months, she was having trouble separating those two things out. And I can't talk to her. I'm not a licensed therapist anyway, and most of us are not. And so we always tell them that we make that disclaimer to everybody, but we can't talk to her really about too, we can't go too far. Everything, abortion touches so many things. It's not like it just happens. It doesn't happen by itself. There's other things surrounding abortion generally. And, we can talk to her to a point about that abusive relationship, but I kept having to tell her because that was more important to her and more heavy to her. When I tried to ask her about abortion, it always went back to this. And so I guess what I'm getting at, and I'm having trouble getting there, so forgive me. There's a lot of trauma in this. And so we get it, say we get a lady that finds us, she's escaped this situation. She has a place to stay, she's in a safe environment, but now she wants to, deal with her abortion, but she's got so many other things. What do you do? What do we do?
Well, there's a few things I would recommend. First, I would find a nonprofit. If she's a trafficking or a domestic violence survivor, find an organization that works with directly survivors. I say Hands of Justice because I'm biased, but I will also tell you we are one of the only nonprofits in the nation that has support groups for survivors of human trafficking, which I find unfathomable because there's support groups for just about everything nowadays, but there's nobody that's doing, and all of our groups are led by overcomers. So they're going to not go into a place where not one person in there is going to understand. Everybody's going to understand their situation, whether they've had an abortion or not. They're at least going to touch on the trafficking aspect of doing life with a like-minded person. And I guarantee you there's going to be several other people that are going to, once you get to know each other, that are also going to be able to relate to the abortion side of it and walk alongside them with that. I would also recommend that they go into a specific trauma therapist that works alongside with survivors of human trafficking. There's a different set of curriculum or therapy set aside for trauma survivors, and that's like EMDR, accelerated resolution therapy. Those are designed specific to touch on trauma. Once they start working with their trauma, then they can start diving into the deeper stuff like an abortion or the loss of a child in other ways, or anything that comes along with the trafficking aspect, because there's so many different aspects, as you said. I do think the need to have like-minded community and support and a therapist, a good trauma therapist, before they even probably dive into an abortion and talk on that. So for instance, and I don't want to talk for Jenny, the client that she worked with was one of our clients, but the first thing we did was get her into a support group, got her a therapist. And then when she was ready, we had this available for her to go and say, I need to start working on this as well. And she's done very, very well. In that, in fact, she stepped into leadership position after all of that, within a
Awesome.
year of
I love that.
coming out.
Yeah. So what is the, if you know, or what you know of, what is the abortion rate with sex trafficked women?
Unfortunately, I don't know, and I don't think anybody knows because I don't think there's any research out there on it. I don't think anybody has taken the time to actually research that subject.
But it's got
Sad
to be
reality.
high.
And again, yeah, it's got to be. And even then, with the research, the numbers would be skewed because a lot of these men and women don't ever come forward, men, the women with the abortions, but they also don't, they may not make it, or they disappear, So it's going to be way higher than any number that you ever see. Just keep that in mind. They say that there's, for instance, 27 million men, women, and children being trafficked. It's really 45.8 or 48.5 million
How
men
do
and
we
women
know
and
those
children.
numbers out of curiosity?
There is, for when it comes to trafficking, there's called what's a TIP report, and it is a nonprofit that's all they do is research, and they research every country in the world, and they come out with a TIP report every year, and it touches on the three tier levels, and they put them in a level of one, two, or three, depending. And in the United States is in a three. Truth, we should be in a one. We're one of the worst countries for human trafficking,
Wow.
despite what that report says. So the numbers There's still a lot of research that has to be done, Mindy. I'll just tell you that there's a lot of numbers out there. A lot of it is outdated and it's also or fabricated. Researchers have said they know for a fact that there is 27 million. They know that, but because of the underreported rates as well as them disappearing, they truly believe it's 48.5. It's speculation, but because of what we know, we really know, just like Linda said, the abortion rates are going to be a lot higher than what's ever reported.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's get into the abortion recovery side of it a little bit. And just so everyone knows, excuse me, Becca has to go and actually pick up a survivor today, I believe, right? So
Yes.
she won't be on with us too much longer. So if she drops off, that's where she'll be. But I do want to get into the abortion recovery side of it just a little bit because I want to talk about the language that if it's different, what your experience was, Jenny, with this lady, and because she was in a group with somebody who wasn't trafficked, is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So I just want to hear a little bit more about that from both of you.
Yeah, when I found out that this wonderful gal that Beck and I have the overlap with, who's now a leader, when I found out that she was going to be coming with a trafficking background, it was really helpful that she authorized her counselor, who was doing the trauma therapy, not to talk to me about her care, but just so it wasn't completely void of, yes, she's going to walk across the hall and take your class tonight. So it was really nice to have that transparency, I suppose, you know. And it helped because we met one time before we started the formal class, the abortion healing class, and she was able to share with me some of her background one-on-one before the other participants joined the class. I think that that's really important when and if that can be done, to have a one-on-one with someone coming out of a trafficking background like she had. Did I answer your question, or was there more to that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you're answering the preliminary parts of that question. I'm really curious about language, and maybe I'll be very specific because this concerns me, and we get into, as leaders, a way of working through our material. We get into a certain set of things that we cover and things that we talk about. And then when we've got women, most of our girls that come through could have said no at some point in their and some point in their journey, and this whole process would have never happened. They never would have had an abortion. So there's a responsibility aspect that they must go through to get through the denial part. And this is where I want to be careful because now we've got a woman in here who is trafficked,
Had no choice.
had no choice, but yet we're going to get to the responsibility pie, or we're going to talk about denial. And what does that look like for these women? And how can we as leaders be sensitive and yet still take them through the process of truth and working through everything?
Yes, that's an excellent question. We did go through our curriculum. We use Her Choice to Heal at the Present Time by Sidna Massey. If you're in abortion recovery, those listening, there are certain pieces in the scaffold that most of us work through, like you said, from denial and processing and forgiveness and all of these layers. So we did stick to our curriculum, but what was so wonderful about meeting one-on-one with the survivor of trafficking first before the curriculum began was, number one, intake, but listening. My focus when I'm leading a class, and I'm sure you know, we have to do a lot of listening, and sometimes a lot more listening, hopefully, than talking whenever possible. And so that was really a wonderful growth experience for me. Number one, I mean, we're Christian women here. Prayer was incredibly important, praying each and every time. I had a heightened sense of responsibility and awareness in dealing with the sensitivity surrounding, the background of this woman who'd been trafficked. When you talk about language, the reason I mentioned listening is that by listening to her and meeting for a good hour and a half, I was able to really hear and then later write down and reflect the language she uses when she talks about her abortion experience, about sexual abuse, about things that happened to her and the trauma in her past. And I wrote those down, and it really created like kind of a new set of language for me. So sure, there were times when we had an individual who was not trafficked in with the gal who was, that I would default to regular curriculum language, or we know words like unwanted or unplanned, or you made a choice to have an abortion. Those weren't applicable to her. And she was also very gracious that if that came up in the text, to say, I would say, in some situations, not in your situation. And she was just very gracious to understand that I was trying really hard to meet her where she was at. So we have to give each other grace in those situations. We may not be perfect in our language dealing with someone coming out of trafficking, but just that heightens sensitivity and slowing down and really listening as much as we can before we speak. And it's okay to apologize. It's okay to make a mistake and say, I know that's not your situation. I want to be sensitive to that. And it did go very smoothly with that, that grace and that love and compassion.
Yeah, I'll piggyback on that too, though, because just like every abortion story is different, so is trafficking. And when they're coming into that, if you just treat each person that walks through the room as meeting them where they're at, you don't have to necessarily change the language. They'll change it for you. Meaning, like, she has curriculum and it's geared towards those that have chosen to have an abortion. In that trafficker's mind, she can change the wording for herself to reflect her own story. You don't have to do that for her. She'll do it. She will, because she wants to be corrected on the fact that, well, that wasn't my story, but this is mine. And so I can still do this and I can still walk through this program, but I can do it my way, if that makes sense. So you don't necessarily have to tiptoe around them and change language. We use some different language when it comes to trafficking survivors. Well, I do. I call them overcomers. I do not use the word victim and I do not use the word survivor. We just feel like the more they hear that word, the more they're going to start believing it. And that's what they need to be. They have overcome it. They've overcome yesterday. So that to me is truth and speaking that. So just speaking truth to them, as Jenny said, and being graceful and listening and really, really hearing, not just listening, but really hearing what they have to say, and being able to meet them where they're at. Those are the big things that are gonna make a difference into them, especially in the beginning. And once they get that, they're gonna want to keep coming back, because who else is gonna offer them that if we don't? So it's needed. Yeah,
Are
that's
there ways
really.
that we can network with some of the groups like Hands of Justice? I know I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, and I know there's some rescue houses there where they're bringing women in, and I've talked to the gal there of how we can offer some of our services. Any suggestions on ways wherever we are to reach out locally?
Well, I will tell you, I don't know if Mindy knows this, but I am retiring from Hands of Justice and I am moving to Alabama, Huntsville, Alabama, and I am going to be doing that kind of stuff nationwide, just going to where people need these kind of things started, or the impact. So finding a survivor leader that also might have gone through an abortion that can sit down with the staff of your nonprofits, your organizations, your businesses, your staff, and really educate them not only on human trafficking but on the abortion aspect of it, will be life-changing right there. And then we can help start certain programs. Most of the time, the girls in our groups, we don't talk about abortion, because that's just right now, we are just wanting to focus on trafficking and what was happening, but really more of their, we'd call it healing centered. We focus on the here and now and our future rather than what happened to us in our past. We feel like trauma therapists should be the ones that are focusing on the trauma part of it, if that makes sense. And that's worked really, really well. Or sending them to groups specific to like abortion, like Jenny Foster. So if you have programs up there, Linda, in Nashville, yeah, reach out to somebody like me who's willing to come in and work with you one-on-one to be able to make those groups more efficient for them. That makes sense. Yeah.
I'm almost speechless because this is really an area I know nothing about except what I've talked to you about Rebecca, and you know, of course, what I see in the movies. And you were quick to tell me the first time we met that what we see in movies isn't what's really happening here, mm-hmm. and it that Correct. Here in United States it looks completely different. And it's kind of overwhelming. It saddens my heart. It's very heavy, and yet at the same time, very, very thankful for how God has moved in your life and taken all these things that you have experienced and then learned afterwards and formed an organization like Hands of Justice. And so I'm assuming it's not just for people in Texas, it's for people anywhere that need help. You guys, you're amassing a team, so to speak, to help anybody. Yep. So I love that.
The whole therapy, you know, I think all that is so good, but I think sometimes it makes us a little hesitant. Because we, like Mindy has said, we're not qualified. And yet, where is that balance? It's that balance between in Jesus Christ, you know, applying his word, which is powerful to everything, mm-hmm. and not feeling, well, Jenny, you were saying, you know, it's kind of intimidating when you first went into it. Mm-hmm. Where is that balance of still being willing to step into her pain, mm-hmm. you know, and to cry with her? And like you said, listen, you know, and maybe somebody doesn't, we don't have the resources, you know, for a therapist. Are we still in the Lord with his discernment? You know, how far can we step into that with confidence still?
Mm-hmm. I think it's important to know when you hit that wall though, and surround yourself, like I know all of us have, with, you know, people that you trust in right. various professions, whether it's counseling, therapy, trauma therapy, social workers, resources in your community. So I know everyone on this call today probably has a resource library. I know I do as well. I mean, there's so many times I can get a text or a call. They're not going to go through my class. They're in another state, but I at least want to be able to give them something to hold on to, whether that's a book to start with or a hotline or a website, you know, wherever they're willing or comfortable, ready to start, even if it's not with me. And it's that love and compassion that I know we all lead with that, you know, can really overcome. And also being honest, of course, we tell them we're not licensed counselors, like you've said, disclaimer, you know. I did want to mention one more thing, if it's okay,
yeah.
here. In the class with the woman who went through many years, and it was a familial trafficking situation, so it was just incredibly heartbreaking. This young woman, and Becca, you know, I'm sure you would agree, there can be serial abortions in the person's life where they go through more than one. And we know that the trauma comes in, you know, then kind of goes down in layers and is compounded. So that was the case with this precious gal who is now a victor and is a leader, but she went through multiple abortions. And what I love is that as a small group, as leaders, we need to be nimble and flexible with people who come through our classes. And so in this situation, she went through the course, and at the end we celebrate and we do a memorial service. We did that for two of her children that are in heaven, and she's coming back and we're going through the course again a second time. So for her, it was too much to try to work through the abortion recovery class for all of her lost babies, but mm-hmm. we're doing it in segments. And you know, why wouldn't we? It's wonderful, you know.
That's a beautiful thing. I never thought about mm-hmm. that. We had a gal last fall, Linda, that came through who had six abortions, and she mm-hmm. really struggled with processing all of those children. And I was just thinking about that today. You know, what mm-hmm. do we do for these gals who've had multiple and upon multiple, you know, mm-hmm. abortions, and you know, how do we help them process through that? That's a good way to do it, is to have them come through again.
Yeah, process. I thought that was great.
And I wanted to, sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine.
Oh, I just wanted to answer Linda's question as well. I don't think, if you're willing to sit with a survivor, you don't have to have a piece of paper that makes you qualified to do so, especially if you have Christ in your heart and you're wanting to share that love and grace with them. That's what they need more than anything, is somebody to just sit with them and love them and accept them no matter what. And if that's all you can offer them, I want you to know that is the best thing to offer them. The trauma, the therapy that they can get, there are nonprofits all over the nation that can offer those services, but not even all of them are offering them the true love of Christ and healing. And so I'm just saying the combo of both is great, but I don't want anybody to ever say, I'm not qualified enough to sit with a survivor. Every single one of us is, regardless if we have lived experience or not, or if we have an education or not. That's all they need. They haven't had somebody just sit with them. They've had, the whole I've ever had, most of them is just abuse and somebody constantly telling them what to do with their life and how to live their life and how to dress and how to eat. They just want somebody to listen. They just want somebody to sit with them and love them and encourage them and support them and celebrate the milestones like birthdays and freedom dates and sobriety dates. Like those are the things that mean much to them, more to them than anything else. So I just wanted to say that because I think a lot of people feel so unqualified working with survivor victims of any kind. And that's just not true. We need people to step up and just be yourself and walk alongside with them and be an example of Christ's love and go from there.
And
So
that's
I just
I think all
curious
that
from
we all need. I think we all need that,
yeah,
right?
sure.
Help
I'm
me out.
wondering too, with Mindy offering virtual groups, do women in trafficking have the freedom enough that they could actually get into a group while they're still in
No.
captivity, at what, for lack of a better
No.
word? No.
No, if they're still in captivity, no. We
Okay.
don't work with anybody that is still in the life
Okay.
because of things like that. The moment that they're out of it, we'll put them in a virtual group.
Okay.
And it's imperative to do it like as ASAP. So if you have a virtual group, great, because you're not just local and you can reach a lot more people and give them a chance to meet more people and find, other like-minded people. But no, we can't work with anybody within the life. You're going to put them in danger and you're going to put
Okay.
yourself in danger. Yeah.
Okay. That's a good
Okay.
question. Well, I just want to thank you, Rebecca, for your time. And
You're
Jenny,
welcome.
again, thank you for coming on
Of
again,
course.
connecting us together with Rebecca. And we wish you the best. And I look forward to seeing how God's going to use you to start, I quote, hands of justice everywhere, and get people, up and on board, and use being useful, especially those who've been trafficked, to find purpose again. That's going to be beautiful. So,
Thank you so much.
you're
Yeah. Well, I
welcome.
appreciate you. I will sign off now so I can go get my girl.
All
So,
right. Bye-bye.
bye, ladies.